It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jim Dolan, and I'm your host for the next 90 minutes or so, somewhere in around that amount of time. We're going to have some comedy and some detecting to do. We'll start with the detecting first, in the form of Richard Diamond, Private Eye. This is early in the series. This is called the Lynn Knight Case, and it's from 1949.
Here is another in NBC's great parade of new shows. Now, Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Hello there, this is Diamond. You know, I'm sure a lot of you people have never seen this big city of New York that I live in, but you ought to. It's really worth seeing. I don't mean a four-bit tour in a bus. I mean that one time that you stop along the way and really take a good look. Maybe it's from a building 40 floors up. You brace yourself against the stiff morning breeze, and you lean out and watch the biggest city in the world wake up, stretch, roll up its progressive sleeves, and go to work. Or maybe it's 6 o'clock in the evening and you're on your way home. You hold up at a busy intersection and you feel the colossus even before you see it. You look behind, to the right, the left, and then up. And there it is. You can only take in 3 blocks maybe, but the pushing crowds and towering buildings are a common denominator for the Bronx, Park Avenue, and Flatbush. The rest you have to imagine because your dinner's waiting. Well, I'm lucky in a way. My dinner's ready when I start throwing nickels in the automat. My meals and my time are freelance, and my work is a ringside ticket to the biggest city in the world. Sure, it's lonely sometimes, and trouble walks the streets on a 24-hour beat. But that's how I pay my rent. Trouble's my silent partner. And he sends me everything from divorce labels to some marked City Morgue, DOA. Dead on arrival. One night last week, old man Trouble was sitting curled up on a doorstep watching two thugs hiding in the shadows of a building. Trouble had a big smile because he was cooking up a king-size mess for yours truly.
Hey, Lou.
Yeah?
Ain't he ever gonna come out?
He'll come out. We just gotta wait, that's all.
Hey, Lou.
Yeah, what is it?
I hope he comes out soon. That cop car is due in a little while.
Yeah.
Hey, supposing they drive up the street just when he comes out.
Then we don't use the artillery.
We don't?
We follow him and get him someplace else.
Okay, okay. Hey, Lou!
What?
Here he comes.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah, sure. Look, he's got his two big watchdogs with him.
Get set. Now!
We better get going.
Don't run, stupid! You think we was being clocked?
Hey, Lou.
There's that lousy cop car. Come on.
Where you going?
In this club. Come on, hurry.
Hey, Lou, supposing the cops come down here.
Shut up.
Table, gentlemen?
Yeah, for my friend and me.
Right this way.
Picture, like a souvenir
picture
to take.
Lou, are you crazy? We can't sit down at no table. They'll have the whole neighborhood covered in a few minutes.
We can sit for a second, then we'll go out the back door.
Here you are, gentlemen. Is this all right?
Oh, just standing.
Yeah, this is just fine, thank you.
Very good, sir. I'll send a waiter right over.
Oh, now, come on, Lou. Let's blow this joint.
Wait till he gets further away.
Please, Lou.
Okay. Now you go first. Take your time, O'Malley.
Picture, sir?
Huh?
No, miss. We don't want no photographs.
Yeah, we don't want none.
Thanks, just the same.
Oh, that's okay. Picture? Like a souvenir picture to take home?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, come on.
Right behind you.
Now, hold it right there. No. Don't move. Thank you. That will be developed.
Hey, Mel, hold it a minute.
Yeah, what is it?
That dame.
This is no time to start looking at dames.
No, you fathead. The one with the camera.
So she's got good-looking legs, but we got... Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
There's a cop in the door.
Get going, but take your time. I'll tell you about the dame later.
Oh, Lynn.
Yeah? What is it, Monsieur Davis?
Where are you going?
Back to the dark room to develop these pictures. You always said not to keep the customers waiting. Didn't you, Monsieur Davis?
I'm glad to see you listen to your employer. I'll just come along to see how this batch turns out.
This batch isn't any different from the last 100 batches.
We'll just go along and see.
Oh, that does it.
I beg your pardon.
I said that does it. You cornered me in that dark room once, and it was all I could do to keep you away from me.
Lynn.
If you think that just because you run this place, you got a right to make passes at me, you better get yourself a new girl.
Maybe that isn't such a bad idea.
Come to think of it, I kind of go for it myself. And as long as I'm quitting, here's something you've been asking for a long time.
Oh, hey, what do you think you're doing?
Now get out of my way. That phony French accent may fool the customers, but it doesn't fool me.
You get out of here. Pick up your check and get out of here this minute, you little... Oh!
Now, what were you going to say, Mr. Davis?
Get out, get out.
Diamond Detective Agency, if you've lost a body, let us dig it up.
Oh, Rick, that's awful.
Depends on who we dig up and how long he's been there.
Rick.
Hello, Helen, baby.
You're simply gruesome.
I know it, but my tongue matches my shirts.
What do you do when you wear stripes?
I tell everybody I've been licking barber poles.
Oh.
Thought you'd catch me, didn't you?
No, I don't think I'll ever catch
you. Oh, I think you're the prettiest little old gal in the whole dang breast of state.
Flattery will get you nowhere. Have we got a date tonight?
Only if the elevator is still running.
Mr. Diamond?
Hmm? Oh, I'll call you back later, honey. I think I just sighted the client.
Mr. Diamond, please, I've got to talk to you.
Well, honey, go back and shut the door. If too much smoke gets out of here, the ceiling will cave in.
What? Oh, yes. All right.
Rick, did I hear a girl's voice?
I think so. But maybe she just wears those clothes because her mother never had a haircut.
What does she look like?
I can't tell you right now. I'm parked behind a curb.
Rick!
The door is closed, Mr. Diamond. Now may I speak with you, please?
Helen, I'll call you later.
I don't care if she is a prospective client. You face the window when you're talking business.
Well, there's a cigarette ad out there. Why look out at an ad when the slogan's right here in my office?
Slogan?
Yeah, you know. So round, so firm, so...
Rick.
Bye, baby. Now, you were saying...
I want to hire you to protect me, Mr. Diamond.
I know an easier way. Wear a diving suit.
Mr. Diamond, put your eyes back in your head. And please listen to me. My life is in danger.
There's an answer for that, too. But go on, tell me the story.
Well, my name is Knight.
Miss?
Yes.
Yes.
In the last 2 days, there have been several attempts on my life.
By whom?
Well, I don't know.
Well, do you know why anyone would want to kill you?
No, I don't.
Well, now we're getting someplace.
Don't be funny, Mr. Diamond. I tell you that twice an attempt has been made on my life.
How?
Well, the first time a man followed me home and tried to break into my apartment. I screamed and then frightened him off.
Maybe he was lonesome. What about the other time?
Well, I don't know whether it was the same man or not, but the next night a man jumped out of a car and tried to make me go with him. I kicked him and ran down the block.
Sounds more like a kidnapping than attempted homicide. Why didn't you tell this to the police?
Oh, I did. They investigated, but I couldn't give them enough to go on, so they just put a man watching my apartment.
I bet he has to stand in line. Didn't they give you an escort?
No. They seemed to think I was after some kind of publicity or something.
Mm.
They told me it was all right to go out in the daytime, but to stay in my apartment for the next couple of nights.
Sounds reasonable.
Will you help me, Mr. Diamond? I'm afraid this will happen again.
My dear, my fee is $100 a day in expenses.
$100 a day?
Mm.
Oh, Mr. Diamond, I don't have that kind of money.
Well, neither do I, but if I starve, I do it with dignity. I can't lower my fee, Miss Knight. I never have.
Hmm. Well, then, I just will have to find another detective agency.
There are a lot of good ones. I'm sorry, the rule might bend a little, but it won't break. If I took the job knowing you couldn't pay half the fee, 10 minutes later, some guy from Texas with an oil-soaked wallet might want to hire me to count his gas stations. Ah, sorry, but it's a tough world, Miss Knight.
Yeah. Well... Thanks, Mr. Diamond. Maybe you could recommend someone?
Oh, any of them are good. Just close your eyes and open the classified.
Hmm. Well, goodbye, Mr. Diamond. I'm sorry.
So am I. My conscience just slit its throat.
Like you said, Mr. Diamond, it's a tough world.
Yeah, the toughest.
Goodbye.
Yeah. No, nuts. Yeah, what is it?
Diamond?
He's hiding his head in the desk. I'll get him for you. Come on out, you heel.
Look, I don't know who this is, but put Diamond on the pipe.
This is Diamond. Wait till I get the bad taste out of my mouth.
Look, you can wet your whistle later.
I've always wondered what happened to people who said that.
Is there a dame in your office named Knight?
Well, there was. She left just before you called.
Well, let me give you a little tip. If she hired you, you're going to start feeling overworked right now, so tell her you don't want the job.
Oh, I am, huh?
Yeah. Well, your nearest relative is going to have to come down and identify the body.
You know something?
No, what?
A couple of minutes ago, I proved that a good businessman can start looking like a big fat heel for a lousy $100 a day in expenses.
Huh?
Don't work on it too long, but stop in sometime, Buster. I'd like to help you spit out your teeth.
You better listen to what I say, Shamus. You're way out of your class in this one.
I'm always out of my class when I talk with slobs. And if you don't like it, look me up. I'll be working for Miss Knight. I went out of my office in a hurry. When somebody tries to push me around, it's like giving a kid a slingshot in a hothouse. You can tell him all night not to do it, but by morning he's busted every window in the place. I hoped I might catch Miss Knight before she got to the street, so I grabbed the elevator and went down to the first floor. I couldn't find her in the lobby, so I went out on the sidewalk. The street was crowded, but those curves showed up like a covered wagon on Madison Avenue. She was just starting across Broadway when a big black sedan pulled up and a guy climbed out after her. I took off as fast as my little 175 pounds would carry me and cut kitty-corner across the street with an eye on the black sedan. The guy had her by the arm, and I knew when she stopped struggling, he'd showed her his gun. I was on a dead run, gonna make like a big hero, but his .38 changed my mind. He missed with the first one, and then he shoved the girl away from him and tried again. I could hear the slug whine past my head, so I hit the sidewalk right next to the girl. He jumped for the car. I just lay there and watched him drive off.
Did you get the license number?
Yeah, it was covered with mud.
Gee, I guess you must look pretty silly just sitting here.
Yeah, got some jacks? I'm a wizard foursies.
Maybe you believe me now, Mr. Diamond.
Yeah. Here, let me give you a hand up.
Thanks.
Now, come on, let's get out of here. We're collecting a crowd.
Where are we going?
I know a policeman who can't understand attempted assault. He says it's not necessary. And believe me, baby, he's got a cure for it. Come on.
In just a moment, we will return to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. But first, the National Safety Council reports that in almost every motor vehicle accident, there is one or more violations of the law, speed, drink, and carelessness being the worst offenders. The difficulty is that people continue to think of the horror of accidents as always happening to someone else. It never occurs to us that we may be killed dashing out to lunch tomorrow. Yes, it can and does happen, for it's the careless little chances each one of us takes every day that cause the big accident totals. Every motorist and pedestrian is urged to support actively the safety movement in his own community. Be careful. The life you save may be your own. And now, back to Dick Powell and the second act of Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Diamond is hurrying with his pretty client to see Lieutenant Levinson, head of homicide.
I hailed a cab, and 10 minutes later, Len Knight and I were walking into the 5th Precinct Police Station. Sergeant Otis looked up and started to say something, but when he saw what I was with, he changed it to a low whistle. Oh, stop puckering, Otis. You look like you've been unstopping sinks.
Oh, very funny, wise guy. How about the introduction?
Miss Knight, Sergeant Otis. Homicide's answer to mercy killings.
Hello, Sergeant.
Don't pay no attention to him, Miss Knight. He was born with a nasty disposition.
Is the lieutenant in, Sergeant?
Yeah, go ahead. He'll see you. Nice meeting you, Miss Knight.
Nice meeting you, Sergeant.
Otis.
Yeah?
Stop clucking. You'll have every rooster in town in here. Hello, Walt.
Who's that with you?
This is Miss Knight.
Is she dead?
Walt. Say something nice to the lieutenant, dear.
After that last remark?
Oh, look, Miss Knight, I'm sorry, but this guy you're with has a talent for finding homicides. I'm suspicious of everyone I see him with, because even if they walk into my office with him, he'd do it just to confuse me.
Well, I'm quite alive, Lieutenant.
Then let me give you a friendly tip, Miss Knight. Stay away from this guy. His sense of humor will turn your hair white.
Oh, isn't he a dream? Walt, Miss Knight wants protection.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Walt, now stop gnawing on the desk and listen to me. Miss Knight is in line for a murder or for kidnapping.
I knew it.
She wants protection, and you're going to give it to her.
That's not my department.
This is homicide, isn't it?
Of course it is. But you know very well we don't go to work until you're dead.
Well, honey, I guess you'll just have to rile it and get yourself killed. It's the only way.
Now you stop that. Send her to another department. They'll give her all the protection she needs.
She's been there. They stuck a guy out in front of her apartment. Now look, I just saw Hood try to muscle her into a car. He took a shot at me, and you know bullets give me that let-down feeling. Now put one of your boys with her until I can do something about clearing this thing up.
What's your full name, Miss Knight?
Lynette. Lynn, for short.
Where do you live and where do you work?
I live at 419 West 48th Street, apartment 309. I quit my job 3 days ago.
Where was this job?
The Circus Club on 52nd Street. I took pictures.
Took pictures?
Yeah, you know. Souvenirs of the customers.
Oh. Why'd you quit?
Well, my boss got grabby. I slapped him around.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, honey. Did you say Circus Club... 52nd Street?
Yeah. What about it?
Walt, didn't somebody gun down Al Rigoletta and two of his boys right near there?
Say, you're right. 3 nights ago.
You didn't see that shooting, did you, Miss Knight?
Well, no, but I read about it the next day.
Well, if you didn't see it, they couldn't want to get at you just because you were a witness.
Oh, this is screwy. What have we got to work on?
You just put a man to guide her. I'm going to see what I can do.
All right, but only because I owe you a favor. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
Get in here.
Otis?
Yes, Otis. He's not as stupid as he looks.
Want to bet?
He couldn't be and live.
You want me, Lieutenant?
Not for keeps. I want you to stay with Miss Knight here until I tell you to come home. Somebody's trying to get rough with her. Got it?
Yeah.
Walt, have you found any eggs around the office?
Eggs?
Otis, where do you hide your nest?
Oh, Lieutenant, make this guy lay off for me.
Yeah, Rick, lay off the poor guy. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Stop standing on one leg and wait outside, you mallet head.
Oh, yeah, Lieutenant.
Walt, I'll keep in touch.
Okay.
Mr. Diamond.
Yes?
Thanks. I'll make it up to you some way.
Don't strain yourself. I like an obligation to be fun.
It will be.
Rick.
Yeah?
Bye.
I left the Fifth Precinct and headed for the Circus Club. It was a small place with sawdust on the floor and colored decorations like the inside of a circus tent. The place was still closed, but a short, dapper little guy in a gray business suit answered my knock.
Yes, you're from the police.
Why? You need them?
I just put in a call. Someone burglarized the place last night.
Oh. You know a girl named Knight?
Lynn Knight?
That's it?
I most certainly do. I fired her 3 nights ago. If she's in some kind of trouble with the police, she deserves it.
You must run this place.
That's right. My name's Davis. Would you like to take a look at the room that was broken into?
I certainly would. What did they steal?
That's just it. I don't know. They turned it upside down, but I can't imagine what they were after. It's a dark room.
A dark room?
Yes. I have several girls that take pictures of the customers. They developed the prints in the back of the cafe. Right this way.
Forget it.
But I thought you wanted...
I'm not from the police, Mr. Davis. I'm a private detective. Tell me, did Miss Knight turn in all her film the night she quit?
I fired her.
Difference of opinion. Did she turn in all her film?
Why, no. As a matter of fact, she didn't. She left with her camera, and several customers got rather angry when the pictures weren't developed.
You mean her last roll was still in that camera?
It must have been. She didn't leave it in the dark room. I looked.
Where's the phone?
Right over there.
Lieutenant Levinson, homicide.
Walt, I think I've got something.
Diamond. I've got something, too. A sour stomach and headache.
What's the matter?
Otis followed that night dame halfway home when some guy stepped out of an alley and split his head with a sap. He's down in emergency getting his skull crocheted.
What about the girl?
We don't know. Otis can't remember.
Oh, that's dandy. I'll call you back.
Now, you wait a minute.
I can't. Bye. I had one of those muscle-bound hunches. And I had to work fast or Lynn Knight was going to get herself kicked around and maybe end up in the city morgue. I remembered her dress, and 15 minutes later, I was standing in front of room 309. I could hear the phone ringing from somewhere inside, so I waited to see if anyone answered it. On the third ring, I tried the door. Well, well, well. Hello?
Who is this?
This is Diamond.
Oh, thank goodness. This is Lynn Knight.
Well, where the devil are you? Lieutenant Levinson said you'd disappeared.
I'm in a bar on 50th. That man who tried to shove me into his car this afternoon hit Sergeant Otis on the head, and I've been running ever since.
How did you know I was here?
Oh, I didn't. I called your office and got no answer, so I just took a chance maybe you'd gone looking for me.
I was, but I was looking for something else, too. Tell me, baby, have you got a camera?
Why, I did have.
Did have? What happened to it?
Well, I sort of sold it.
Oh, you mean you hocked it.
I didn't need it anymore, and I did need the money.
You stay right where you are, and I'll be down. What's the name of the place?
2320 Club. Please hurry, Mr. Diamond. I'm scared.
Okay. I want to ask you something else.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I thought you'd hung up.
No, I thought you... Lynn.
Yeah?
Is there an extension on this phone?
Why, yes, in the bedroom. Say, you don't think...
I don't know. Wait a minute. Hey, what are you guys... Oh!
Mr. Diamond? Mr. Diamond, are you still on the...
Okay, Mel. Let's go get the dame.
Hey, that was pretty smart waiting around and listening in on the extension, Lou. What do you want me to do with the Shamus? He looks like he can still hear things.
Well, turn him off.
Sure. Okay. Okay, let's go.
What are you limping for?
I kicked him with the wrong foot. I got a lousy ingrown toenail.
I laid there trying to crawl back to a more sensible way of life. He'd kicked me so hard that it shook my eyes loose and they'd run back into my head to hide. Everything was suddenly crammed into a long funnel that disappeared into the floor, and I felt pretty sick. I was stuck in an acre of colored molasses, and trying to get myself loose was like pulling a pillow through a garden hose. When I finally made it, I stuck my head under a sink and let the cold water bring me back to normal. Then I headed for the 2320 Club in a hurry.
Something I could do for you?
I'm looking for a girl, but I don't see her.
They come and go. It's like that around here.
She had on a green skirt and a jersey blouse. Couldn't miss her unless you don't like girls.
Oh, her. She used the phone and then she left.
Alone?
No, a couple of ugly-looking guys came in and she left with them. Hey, you know her?
Yeah.
Well, she forgot her purse. You might tell her.
Her purse? Let me see it.
Oh, no.
Here's the badge, Buster.
Oh, okay.
He handed me the purse and I went through it. Nothing much but a pawn ticket. I looked at it and that hunch started biting my leg, so I took off for the pawn shop.
Good afternoon.
Here's a ticket. I want to claim the article.
Sure, sure. A11249. Here it is. Ah, lovely camera.
Bingo.
Did the girl sell it to you?
No, she just wants me to claim it for her.
Well, be careful. She said there was still some film in it. She wanted to come back and get it when she got a new job. $15, please.
Yeah, here you are. Is there a place around here where I can get the film developed?
Right across the street. You can see it from here.
Ah, thanks.
Here it comes. Yep, it's coming up, but we'll leave it in a little longer. Hey, maybe I'm nosy, but what's so important about this roll of film?
I'll tell you better when I look at it.
Well, I'll turn on the light. There you are.
Yeah. Well, nothing on this one. Nope. Hey, look at this.
Oh, some old guy with his wife. Is that what you wanted to find?
You see those two guys in the background that look like they're just sneaking out of a chicken house?
Yeah, so what?
The one in the back is Lou Garzoni.
The gangster?
Yeah. Give me that negative. Let's get out of here.
Well, you two holding hands in there?
Hey, who are you and what's the gun for?
Take it easy, Doc. He shoots people.
That's right. Now, back into the room.
All right, but take it easy with that gun.
Give me that negative, Shamus.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, where's the picture?
It's still in the juice.
Well, get it.
I'll get it.
That's better. Well, come on.
I can't seem to find it.
Oh, yeah?
Look for yourself.
I'll look.
See?
Hey, you threw it in his face. That stuff might blind him.
So now he can't see to kill you.
My eyes. Get me to the doctor, quick.
After you tell me where the girl is.
212 West 45th Street, apartment 513. Harry, I can't stand it.
Call a doctor for this guy and then get hold of Lieutenant Levinson, 5th Precinct. Tell him to meet me in front of 212 West 45th and to step on it.
Yes,
all right. I'll take those pictures.
I can't stand it.
Sure you can. It's no fun looking at the electric chair anyway.
Apartment 513, he said? Oh, here it is.
Yeah. If Lou Garzoni's in there, we gotta take him by surprise or he'll knock off the girl.
Otis is down in the alley, so he won't get out that way. Well, here goes. I hope it works.
Yeah, who is it?
Mel had an accident. He sent me up to tell you.
What's your name?
Tony Vega.
Well, why didn't you say so?
I thought you was in stir. Coppers! You dirty dog!
Ain't gonna... Oh! Oh! How about it, Walt?
He's on his way. Where's the girl?
Probably in the other room. Yeah. Yeah. Take it easy, baby. All right. I'll get the gag out. Now, there you are.
Oh, Mr. Diamond. Mr. Diamond, he was going to kill me.
Yeah, I know.
Is she all right?
Sure, Walt. How about Garzoni?
No hurry for the wagon.
Oh.
Now, will you please tell me how you knew Lou Garzoni was in this apartment?
Well, he and his boy were after a picture Miss Knight took. Here, this one.
Ah. Here they are in the background.
He was an old enemy of Al Rigoletto, wasn't he, Walt?
Yeah. Why?
I bet he was the one who rubbed him out. Then he and his boy ducked into the nightclub. Garzoni saw his picture taken, so they went after Len.
Why, Mr. Diamond.
What's the matter?
You finally called me Lynn.
Well, Lynn. you go home and take it easy. I might stop by tomorrow.
What's the matter with tonight?
I've got a piano lesson. Bye.
Otis!
Yeah, Lieutenant? Is it all over?
Yes, you hammerhead. Now get out of that garbage can and see if you can find your way back to the station.
Rick, stop it.
Okay.
Rick.
Hmm?
Tell me about the girl in your office.
Oh, nice kid, lovely eyes.
I'm jealous.
Good for you.
And I'm mad.
You're so busy.
You like the new piano?
Oh, yes, yes. It's a big one. Must have taken a herd of elephants to make the keyboard.
Sing something.
What does Rita Baby want?
I don't care.
Okay. Oh, I don't care. I don't care.
Rick.
Well, that's what you said. You said that. Yes, you did.
Something nice.
All right. Everywhere you go, sunshine follows you.
Oh, that's such a beautiful tune.
Really? Everywhere you go, skies are always blue.
Rick.
I'm gonna finish it. Children love you, they seem to know. You bring the roses right out of the snow. The whole world says hello. Everywhere you go. Do you suppose the guy who wrote that song ever got shot at?
Oh, Rick, you idiot. Come here.
Oh. This is much more fun than piano lessons.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Joan Banks, Paul Dubov, Herbert Ellis, and Sidney Miller. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by Richard Sandville. And now, Dick Powell.
Friends, I want to remind you of the wonderful group of programs NBC has on tap for tomorrow afternoon and evening. Shows like Hollywood Calling, Guy Lombardo, Four Star Playhouse, The Ethel Merman Show, and the NBC Symphony. For the best in radio listening tomorrow and always, keep your dial tuned to your favorite NBC station.
Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. And don't miss the interesting story, My Mr. Powell and His Mr. Diamond, in the September issue of Radio Mirror, now on your newsstand. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at this same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Richard Diamond, Private Eye, that's a Lynn Knight case from 1949. Well, we haven't played any Bing Crosby or Bob Hope, for that matter, for a long time. Actually, this is the Bob Hope show. But it's interesting because it's more than just the show. It's the entire warm-up and the show. And it sounds like the show might have been recorded and then edited after. I'm not sure, but we'll listen to it and see. So now we'll go back to 1950 for Bob Hope.
Prosecutor, Mr. High Ever back. And don't worry about any of the jokes. We just want you to laugh as long and as possible. Don't worry about any of the material. We figure the best way is to laugh here and figure them out after you get outside.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So open a pack, give them a smell.
Then you smoke them.
To the side. Of
Chesterfield presents the Bob Hope Show, transcribed from Hollywood, California. With Les Brown and his band of renown, for Chesterfield, yours truly, High Averback, Jack Kirkwood, Bing Crosby. And here he is, the man who gave ties this Christmas. Santa Fe is suing him because he tore up 2 miles of track, Bob Hope!
Thank you very much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Well, December 26th, there goes another Christmas. You know what Christmas is. That's the time of the year when people who can't afford it buy things that don't fit for people they don't like. But I had an exciting Christmas morning. A crowd was gathered outside my door cheering. Someone had rung... Anyway, I... an exciting Christmas morning. A crowd was gathered outside my door cheering. Someone had hung the wrong kind of wreath out front. This is my first Christmas with my new sponsors, but they really came through. You've seen their ad showing a table set with 100 pieces of beautiful silverware and a carton of Chesterfields lying in the center. Well, that's what they gave me. And a pack of matches to light them with. Yeah, well... My relatives gave me some nice presents this year. They should be nice. They're the same ones I gave them last year. And my wife gave me a very unusual gift, a mink coat. When I said I wouldn't wear it, she started crying and said she'd just have to keep it for herself. Women are so foolish, aren't they? It's strange that mink coat matches the purse she gave me last year. I had a tough time picking out a present for Bing. He's so difficult to offend. I finally sent him a $5 bill. Why fool around? I know what he likes. And Crosby told me he was going to give me something for around the house. He gave me something for around the house. You know where I can get rid of 24 mice? Jimmy Stewart called me up and thanked me for the raincoat I sent him. I didn't have the heart to tell him it was a case for a fishing rod. I've had the same thing happen to me, though. Last year, someone gave me a bright-colored pair of pajamas. It wasn't until the following March that I discovered I was sleeping in a set of Buick seat covers. I wondered why the pockets were ashtrays. Jane Russell sent me a sweater with a card. I spent October and November knitting this for you. It fits fine, except that October is too tight around the neck. And November drags on the ground. I walked down the street this morning and a guy followed me developing film. And a guy followed me developing film. When I walked down the street this morning, a guy followed me developing film. Well, anyway, I left out a word. I'm fine. I was a little late with my present, Hedy Lamarr. I had trouble wrapping it. You know, it's tough tying the string from the inside. And I gave my kids a television Christmas. I promised not to go on it again. No applause there, please. Now, I really gave my kids Western outfits for Christmas, but I never should have given them that saddle. You're looking at Bob Hope, the Wonder Horse. And Tony got a life-size Hopalong Cassidy doll that's almost human. When you wind it up, it walks around spitting on the Roy Rogers stuff. I wound the Hopalong Cowboy too tight, and before we could get it stopped, it lassoed our Cocker Spaniel and branded the mailman in three places. Where have you been up to now? And I got 4,000 Christmas cards this year, but I have to send nearly 1,000 back unsold. The Cadillac company sent me a cute card. It said, "You may ride all year in Santa's sleigh with his reindeer and gaudy raiment. We just took your car away. You slipped up on a payment." But Christmas in Hollywood is great. Santa Claus arrived at one house, and the kids asked him to tell a story. He said, "I can't. I had a story, but I just sold it to Paramount for 50 grand. And one actor I know wouldn't play Santa Claus at his house. He didn't think the part was big enough. But they finally talked me into it. You know, when I was a kid, we were too poor to have stockings for the presents. My folks used to nail me to the mantelpiece with my mouth open. And I went to one Hollywood Christmas party that was really something. They had a mink Christmas tree. I didn't mind that, but the mink were alive. Everybody sat around drinking eggnog and eating caviar mixed with rhinestones. And they didn't take any chances on your staying too long under the mistletoe. Right next to it, they had a preacher hung from the ceiling in a bucket seat. It was quite a party. Finally, Santa Claus arrived in the Cadillac convertible. He came into the room and said, "Merry Christmas, everybody. Movies are better than ever." It was Sam Goldwyn with a white beard.
Say, Bob, now that the Christmas holidays are almost over, I suppose Chesterfield wants you to go back to your old job.
What's that, High?
The cigarette girl at Ciro's.
Oh, yes, and I'm ready for it. I've got a delightful new outfit. A lovely crinoline woven in a daring herringbone pattern, charmingly accented by 54-gauge seersucker hose.
Well, I'm sure you'll be mobbed by all the customers who want to make the Chesterfield mildness test.
I'm counting on it. But for those who won't be at Ciro's, let's go over it now.
The next time you buy cigarettes, buy Chesterfield's. Smell them, smoke them, and compare them. Yes, compare that milder Chesterfield aroma with your old brand, and your nose will tell you the difference between Chesterfield's and other cigarettes. Chesterfield's are milder.
And as all tobacco men know, they sure do. And as all... I'm really sharp tonight. I haven't even got this thing. I never saw it before. And as all tobacco men know, tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder. You smoke them and you'll find it's true. Chesterfield's smoke milder, and they leave no unpleasant aftertaste.
Yes, remember that. Better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines, for you, mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Christmas 1950 has come and gone, but the memory lingers. The memory of those few hectic days that precede every Christmas. Like the rest of us, Bob Hope had his minor Yuletide problems. So let's go back. It's earlier in the week, and I went over to Bob's house to give him a gift and possibly get one in return. Hello, Bob.
Gee, you look swell. You're so well-groomed, and that suit fits you beautifully. I don't think I've ever seen you looking handsomer. And your hair is just...
Bob, I'm over here. Stop looking at the mirror.
Oh.
Hello, High.
Well, Bob, why is it every time I come over here, you're looking at one of the 100 mirrors you have around the house?
Well, I have to look at all of them, or some of them get jealous.
Well, I just came over to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas, High, and a Chesterfield New Year. Say, what's that you've got in your hand?
Well, it's a gift for you. I know how fond you are of golf, and you're out on the course every chance you get, and, well, this should make your golfing much more enjoyable.
Gee, thanks. I can't wait. I've got to open it right now. Well, just what I've always wanted, a set of matched holes. high. Since you've been so nice, I think I'll give you your gift now.
Oh, Bob, you didn't have to.
I wanted too high. I know how crazy you are about television, and there's no antenna on your house across the street, which means you don't have a set. So?
So?
Here's a telescope. I'll keep my shades up.
Oh, gee, thanks a lot. You've got a heart as big as Woolworth's.
Heart as big as Woolworth's. My, that's clever. Probably the funniest resignation I ever heard.
No, really, Bob, I appreciate the thought. Say, I meant to ask you, what are you giving Crosby this year?
Oh, I've got it right here, Hi.
Oh, that's a mighty attractive gift. What is it?
A necktie. Sent me back 35.
Hey, that's a lot of money.
Sure is. Ruined a half a buck.
Now, wait a minute. You spent only 35 cents for a necktie for Bing?
Yeah, I saw it advertised in a television show, Peter Pepper's Party Poopers.
Well, it's certainly unusual. Is that a hand-painted tie?
No, hand-painted ties are so common. This is a little different.
Oh, what is it?
Wallpaper. You don't tie a knot. You put it on with a brush and paste.
Really, Bob, do you think that's much of a gift?
Why, certainly. It's very practical. You can wear it for sport or with a business suit or for evening wear. And best of all, it's reversible.
Oh, what's on the other side?
A dish rag. Should go very well with that sport jacket he has made out of potholders.
Now, Bob, you're not really going to give it to him, are you?
Sure, I'm going over to his house right now.
Well, it's almost 10 o'clock. He's liable to be asleep.
Then I'll leave it in the night deposit box. I'm sure he'll get it that way, and,
Noel, Noel, Noel.
Hey, listen to that, High Christmas carolers.
Yeah, Bob, and they're right outside the door. I'll open it.
Oh, aren't they a colorful group, High? Oh, and look at that little old lady on the end. She shouldn't be out in the damp night air. Oh, Mother, would you like to come in the house and get warm?
I'd love to, but you're standing on my shawl.
Hey. Hey, Bing, how come you're out singing Christmas carols?
Oh, a fellow I know got me this job. He's too busy to take it himself, so he fixed it up for me. Always throws whatever work he can my way.
Who's that?
Gary.
You were lovely.
Are you going to just drop the gold like this?
We roll.
There may be a Red Skelton spy here.
Pinky Lee.
There's scripts on the ground. Say, Gary, huh?
Yeah.
You mean your own son sends you out into the night air to sing Christmas carols? That's terrible.
Nick's cracking. I wouldn't want to hear you say that. It could irritate the lad, you know.
So what?
Might cut off my allowance. Well, cut me off another farthing, eh?
Well, caroling is a nice idea, Bing, but you look cold.
It is a bit nippy.
Well, you should know better than to go out in the night air without your electric money belt. Come in and get warm.
Thank you, Robin. Well, hello there, High. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Bing. Well, I'll be running along, Bob.
Why don't you stick around, High?
Oh, no, thanks, Bob. I feel like watching television tonight. Leave your shade up, huh?
Okay. Nice.
Hey, it's nice. Nice and cheerful in your big fire going in the fireplace. What are you burning?
Your records.
Well, heavens to Decker.
Well, make yourself comfortable, Bing. Take off your shawl. Can I get you something to drink or a bite to eat?
No, thanks. I didn't bring my credit card.
Oh.
Say,
Rum luck.
Hot luck. Say, you've got this room done up in real Christmas style, haven't you? It's an absolute symphony of red and green, the holly, and that mistletoe right up over the front door.
Yeah, I put it there so I can kiss anybody who comes to the house.
Any luck?
Yeah, I'm engaged to the mailman.
Play post office with girls sometimes. See, I can tell you it's going to be quite a Christmas at the Hope Menage. I can tell that. That's an impressive pile of gifts under the tree.
Yeah, you know how the kids like presents at Christmas.
Sure, I know. I just got nicked for a set of trains for my twins.
I know. I tried to get reservations on the Super Chief, and they told me it was your house.
Come on, put your teeth in and try it again. Come on.
Teeth won't help. I need a brain with this. That awful. I know. I tried to get reservations on the Super Chief, and they told me it was at your house.
Say, Bob, incidentally,
where are you when I need you?
Like Say, Bob, I have one more present for under the tree. This is for you. Merry Christmas.
Why, Bing, I'm overwhelmed. Is this my present?
Mm-hmm. The other side is a dish rag.
Why, you cheapskate, you miser, you Pebble Beach penny pincher.
Why, look, Scrooge, I happen to know that you line the insides of your trousers with money.
That's a lie.
Don't tell me. I've seen you in the locker room. The flap on your underwear has a serial number.
I wouldn't talk if I were you. You're too cheap to even buy a Christmas tree. You've got Gary Cooper standing in your living room with pine needles stuck in him.
That, sir, is a base canard.
Yes, well, it just so happens. What'd you say?
Base canard. That's French for hoax, falsehood, lie.
Look, hammy yogurt. Why don't you speak English?
There's nothing wrong with an occasional French phrase. After all, French is a romantic language, the language of the intellectuals.
Shall I hang this kid on a hook? The intellectuals? I love that. For years, this guy thought the Encyclopedia Britannica was a British bicycle.
Here's a man, this man here, with one brush. His one brush with culture was when he posed for the Cyrano de Bergerac ad. The picture hadn't played around that much, or else I lost that lineup.
Go ahead, act superior. You had advantages. You went to college. Nobody helped me. I had to become an idiot on my own.
There's an instinctive reaction if I've ever heard it. I might add, it's a job well done.
Just for that. Just for that, I'm not going to give you your Christmas present.
Here, now, let me see that.
Let go of that.
Well.
There you are, wise guy. Now we're even. Only a nearsighted, colorblind halfwit would wear that stupid-looking tie.
I like it.
I should have known. You don't go shopping for clothes in the store. You just hijack a Salvation Army truck.
This figured, I guess. I knew you wouldn't spend more than 35 cents on me. After all I've done for you, too.
What did you ever do for me?
Well, for one thing, I got you this job with Chesterfield, boy.
Are you kidding? The Chesterfield Company was dying to get me. Their tongues were hanging out. They were drooling.
Really?
Yes, it was sloppy, but flattering. By the way, Tubb, what are you getting Mr. Crampton, the head of Chesterfield's, for Christmas?
Well, I just happen to know that Crampton has a fine collection of early American firearms, so I thought I'd try to find him a musket or a pistol from the Revolutionary War. Find something, you know, some little gem for about $500.
$500?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give him the one they gave you at Valley Forge? Bing, if you spend that much money on Crampton, then I'll have to. We don't have to butter Crampton up. We got contracts.
Yeah, well, you might be right at that. It's really not the money you spend, after all. It's the thought behind
sure,
the gift.
Sure, the thought, like the thing you gave me last year, a gift order to a plastic surgeon.
Well, I figured you might want to trim a few inches off that upswept fish hook.
No, stay.
Incidentally, that was a nice little goodie you dropped in my stocking.
I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah. A bottle of Fitch shampoo and a record of It's Later Than You Think. A little poignant, don't you think?
Look, Papa Santa Claus, let's cooperate for once and not cut each other's throat trying to get cramped in a lavish gift. Why don't we spend about $5 apiece?
Fine. Let's leave it that way, then. Just get the man something simple. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll rejoin the carolers.
Okay, here's your shawl, Grandma. Thank you. So here is Dad and Carol Richards doing a copy of their Decca recording of Silver Bells from Paramount's Lemon Drop Kid, starring Tubby Guerin.
Busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Strings of streetlights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasure.
Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene. And above all this bustle you hear
silver bells,
silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling,
hear them ring. Soon it will be
Christmas Day.
Soon it will be Christmas
Day. It's a sad, sad thought, Bob, but do you realize with 1951 almost upon us, we still have one thing in common.
Hardly enough for a happy marriage, is it? What is that, Bing?
Chesterfields, of course. We both like them. We both sell them.
And we'd better get to selling them now. Mm-hmm. You know, folks, better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
How do you know they're mild? Well, you just make our mildness test. Buy them, open them up, and enjoy that milder aroma. Then smoke a Chesterfield. You know it's milder because it smokes milder.
And Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel. So, always buy Chesterfield.
Join me, will you, Junior? And let's sum this thing up musically.
Yeah, wait a second.
You got a copy of it? Where in the devil is it?
I don't have it.
I don't have it. I've been frisked. I've been rolled.
There's a klepto here somewhere. Where the hell is this stuff?
I've been rolled.
I don't have anything. No talent, no script. I can't read. Let's get the stuff. You throw everything on the ground. What the hell is the matter with you?
I never did have it.
Great thing. Looks like Nick Kenny's handwriting. I love it. Okay, we're ready if you're through arguing back there.
How's it go now? How's the melody?
Chesterfield, Chesterfield.
Oh, yeah.
Follow me. I'll show you how to sing.
Take it from the last fly on the commercial.
Oh, that's swell, Cappy. Thank you. And pack. Okay.
Chesterfield.
You like it at Mutual. Where are we here?
Be heads rolling in the morning. You ready, Cappy? Join me, Junior, and let's sum it up musically.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place.
Who the hell are you? I've ever seen with a stoplight. Look at this. Okay, let's go, boy.
No.
I guess we don't. Anything you say, Les, you're the czar here. What's that? Step in there. I love that. I like the way you hold it. Come on. Let's go. I love that. I'll have him look. Let him look at you over here, kid. I've seen you. I've seen you. Stand over here, will you, please? In fact, I'm having my stomach treated for that now. Would you stand over here? Okay, why don't you stick your hand? Come on, let's go. It's overtime and it's on you. Al!
You're going to miss the Bob Hope Show at 9 o'clock.
Oh, my God. Not that. Go.
Join me, Junior. Let's sum it up musically.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste. So open a pack and give them a smell, then you'll smoke them.
Doesn't that prove it?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, a few days before Christmas, Bob talked Bing out of buying Mr. Crampton of the Chesterfield Company an expensive antique pistol for his collection. In fact, they agreed to limit the price of their gifts to $5 each. We now find Bob, a man of his word, walking along Hollywood Boulevard.
That antique shop ought to be along here someplace. Oh, boy, wait till Bing finds out I'm buying Crampton a gun for his collection. Bing will blow his top. He may have to rent one, but he'll blow it. Now, what was the address of that shop? Maybe this Santa Claus knows. Hiya, Santa!
Merry Christmas, boy!
Well, what's the good word?
Put something in the pot, boy.
Okay, here's a dollar.
Thanks.
Wait a minute, you're putting it in your vest pocket instead of the kettle.
Whoops, wrong pot. My eyes are just going to pieces.
Why, what's the matter?
When I was a child, my eyes were subjected to very bright lights.
How come?
Mother took me along every time they put her in the lineup.
Well, you're a very interesting type. Have you always been a Santa Claus?
Oh, no. Once I was a big, influential man. I had clothes, cars, money, a good time, Charlie. Wherever I went, it was Chiron for everybody. And then came...
What?
1929.
The crash?
No, that was my number at Sing Sing.
Oh, fine, a jailbird.
That's right. And I wouldn't mind being in jail right now.
You wouldn't?
No. That way I could spend Christmas with the rest of the family.
Now, wait a minute. You mean your whole family's in jail?
Yes, it's something of a tradition with us. As a matter of fact, my great-great-great-grandfather, Hezekiah Kirkwood, came over on the Mayflower in the brig.
Well, I don't know how anybody can be proud of having crooks for ancestors.
Oh, but I am. And if you'll bear with me, sir, I'd like to show you a picture of my dad, old Goniff Kirkwood.
Well, let me see. Say, that's very interesting. He's sitting in the electric chair holding a highball in his hand.
That's right. That was the day he was chosen man of extinction. But enough of this persiflage. How about putting something in the pot, boy?
You know, you fascinate me. You admit to being a crook.
Boy, I'm so crooked I have to put my hat on with a screwdriver.
Well, frankly, I think you're bragging.
Well, I got a right to. I just finished a 20-year stretch.
What did you do 20 years for?
Serving my wife breakfast in bed.
They put you in jail for that? How come?
Well, the bed was in a gnash, and then I drove it off a cliff.
Why, you cad.
No, it was a gnash. Say, I've been studying you, boy. You look awfully familiar.
Really? Well, I'm Bob Hope.
I thought so. You know, I hear all your radio shows and I see all your pictures.
What do you think?
Take something out of the pot, boy.
Well, he was a big help. Oh, there's the antique shop in the corner.
Good evening, sir. May I help you?
Oh, yes, I'm in the market for an early American gun.
Fine. Our Miss Daniels will help you. Step right over here, please.
How do you do, sir? May I be of service?
Well, I hope so. I'm interested in an antique.
Well, my number is Hillside 5413.
No, you don't understand. I'm looking for a pistol.
After two cups of Ovaltine, I am a pistol.
Ew. Take it easy, dear. You'll pop the snaps on your camisole. Now, do you have any early American guns?
Well, we have this pistol right here. It's very rare, a fine specimen. It's at least 200 years old.
Well, it's certainly an interesting piece.
Yes, and a tribute to the ingenuity of the early gun makers. You see, in order to fire the gun, the flint was inserted in the flint rock, and then the ball was placed in the barrel, along with a charge of powder from a powder horn and a wad of cotton. The whole thing was then rammed down with a ramrod, then the ramrod was replaced in its holder, and then the gun was cocked and ready to go.
And then they fired the gun?
No, by that time the war was usually over.
Well, I think that would be great. I bet Mr. Crampton would be... Hey, don't point that gun at me.
Oh, don't be silly. This gun is over 200 years old. It couldn't possibly go off. Look, I'll hold it up to my head and pull the trigger.
Don't!
Oh, goody. Now I can wear pierced earrings.
Well, I think I'll take the pistol. How much is it?
$375 plus tax.
Oh, fine. Will you gift wrap it, please? I want it.
Say, would you folks have an earlier... Well,
Bing.
Huh. Going back on your word, huh? You're buying Crampton an expensive gift, huh?
Well, what of it?
Why, you... I can't think of a name low enough to call you.
I have a few suggestions.
You stay out of it.
That's it. There you go, picking on an elderly woman. That's typical of you, too. Madam, may I apologize for the crude and unseemly behavior of this boor?
Oh, that voice. I'd know it anywhere. You're a singer, aren't you?
Yes.
Why, of course. You're Victor Moan.
You're a little off there. I'm Bing Crosby.
Oh, well, that was before my time.
Quite a bit of Arthur Godfrey in you, Mother. Now, if you'll be good enough to gift wrap that gun, I'll just be on my way, huh?
Now, hold it. I've already bought that pistol.
Okay, we do. Suppose we let this charming lady decide. Madam, are you going to sell this gun to me and be assured that its intrinsic value will be appreciated, or to this itinerant purveyor of jokes? This trained seal that palms himself off as an actor.
Hey, where do you come off with that stuff?
I saw you in fancy pants. The only resemblance you bear to Tallulah is that you both wear the same size girdle.
Now, look, you collapsible Como. I remember that little Technicolor wake you starred in called Connecticut Yankee.
Infamy. Absolute infamy.
You just made one little mistake in that picture.
What was that?
You stepped in front of the camera while it was going.
That's all. I've had it. Wrap up the pistol, please.
Not so fast. You've been playing teacher's pet with Crampton long enough, making a spectacle of yourself, wearing shorts made out of Chesterfield wrappers. Well, I bet you've got Chesterfields in every pocket.
Here, now, here, get your hands out of my pocket. Out of there, I say.
What's going on here?
Why, this thief was trying to pick my pocket.
I saw him.
I'll call the police at once.
Now, wait a
minute. He tried to steal my
purse. Why, this man is obviously a professional crook.
I've had enough of these accusations. I dare you to step outside and call me names.
You put me down.
Why, he's dangerous. I'd better call the police.
Oh, yes. Take him to the Beverly Hills Bastille.
Cut it out, Bing. Tell the guy who I am.
Do you know this man?
I've seen his picture in the post office, if I'm not mistaken. I think this is Nosy Nick Palladino, a member of the... vicious Black Hand gang member.
Black Hand?
Yes, he's been that way ever since he stopped working for Swan Soap.
Look, he's making this all up. I'm Bob Hope.
Now he's pleading insanity, you see?
Well, I was suspicious of him the minute he walked in here. He's got those shifty eyes and cruel dark lines around the mouth.
I just ate a Tootsie Roll. Now, look, Crosby, you double-crosser.
He's getting violent. Miss Daniels, call the police. I'll hold
now,
him.
Wait, just a minute. Let's not be hasty. This man is probably out on parole, and this might mean a life sentence. It's Christmas. Let's be charitable. Just throw the bum out, huh?
All right, sir. Come along, you.
I'll sue you for everything you've got.
Out you go!
How about that? Having me thrown out on the street. That tone-deaf Benedict Arnold. Friends for years, 20 years, now he's a big star. He forgets I knew him when he was a chicken plucker at Knott's Berry Farm. That's where he learned to sing, listening to the chickens. Well, I'm through with him. This is the end for us. I'll never talk to that rat again. Never. I hate him.
Oh, Bobby boy.
Don't talk to me, you base canard.
You're really burning, aren't you? Look, here's the pistol. It's all wrapped up nice and pretty. And deliver it to Mr. Cranston.
Me?
Mm-hmm. Bought the gun. I put both our names on the card. With yours first, of course.
Oh, Bing, you're a doll.
I hope the postman won't think I'm cutting in.
Gee, Bing, I had you figured all wrong.
You should know better, Robert. We're pals. No matter what happens.
No matter what happens?
That's right. Someday, your figure will start to spread.
Your fall and arches will drop like lead.
You'll find your beautiful smile has fled.
No hair atop of your shiny head.
Don't let the wrinkles upset you. I'll still be happy I met you.
Darn it, brother, we're past.
Someday, you're gonna lose your physique.
You'll have the doctor in twice a week.
This chic will suddenly go antique.
You'll be so deaf that I'll have to shriek.
Your fans will no longer court you, but you've got your sons to support you.
Darn it, brother, we're pals. Darn it, brother, we're pals.
Union give us the biggest.
Isn't this a great thing?
They're supposed to come in,
you know what I mean?
The line
and they think Phil Harris drinks. Isn't this awful?
Will you get Mal Hallett on the phone, please?
Two.
Come to my show and
I guess he's just mad because his name's not on the banner. I guess so. I don't know.
He was on the telephone when we rehearsed.
Sure, that's a nice place to rehearse, on the telephone. You're supposed to rehearse music. What the hell are you doing on the phone? I know, but this is a new arrangement. We don't do Maxwell's arrangement. I mean, it's not a bad idea, but we don't, Les. You know that.
Do it again.
Sure. Listen, you know what happens there? Darn it. Brother, we're... Now, listen to the boy. Listen to Sir Thomas Grierson over there.
Darn it, brother, we're pals. A Merry Christmas!
Oh, wait. I don't think I want to do it at all. Oh, my back. Say, my idea, I had nothing to do with this. The writers are upstairs. I'd like to talk to them. I don't know where you were last night, but I'm glad you won first prize. Look, I want to talk. Listen, let's do it that way then. We'll do it your way, Les. The hell with the show. Let's do it your way. Okay. Hey, listen, wait a minute. Fellas, for no extra money, could you sing a little louder? I guess not. All right, thanks. Go ahead. Where do you want to start from? We'll never get to the Palladium, and I have my card filled.
No matter what happens, that's right.
Well, you don't mind if I read a line, do you? Let's test it. It's my show. Do you mind if I read one?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. All right, Les, don't beat him. Just let's play. Okay, Les, then. Okay, oh, what the hell he got in there?
What are you smoking? Rehearsal
clothes.
Rose Bowl.
Rehearsal clothes.
That's all. Usher, start the motors. We'll be right out. Go ahead. All right. Go then. Oh, you want to say that? Okay, Les. Oh, I never did get along. No matter... Oh, where... Yes. No, This is on you. We're going to have a big meeting. You and I now are. You didn't have any arrangements, no music, nothing. You came in with nothing again.
Look at the shoes, though.
All right, now, here we go. All right, I'm going to stop the tittering. Here we go, then. No matter what happens...
here we go, here we go, here we go. Okay, legit now, let's go.
Okay, come on. Fuck.
All right. No matter what happens.
That's right.
Someday your figure will start to spread your fall.
I'm not ready. Let's move. Let's move, Les. Come on. Quit fooling around.
Well, I know.
All right. No matter what happens.
That's right.
Someday your figure will start to spread.
Your fall and arches will drop like lead.
You'll find your beautiful smile has fled.
No hair atop of your shiny head.
Don't let the wrinkles upset you. I'll still be happy I met you.
Darn it, brother, we're pals.
Someday you're gonna lose your physique.
You'll have the doctor in twice a week.
This chic will suddenly go antique.
You'll be so deaf that I'll have to shriek.
Your fans will no longer court you, but you've got your sons to support you.
Darn it, brother, we're pals.
Oh, Merry Christmas!
Darn it, brother, we're past.
Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright.
Silent night, holy night, the birthday song of a man who died on the cross for his faith in God's great principles, peace on earth, goodwill toward all men.
1,950 years have gone by since the birth of that man and the rebirth of those principles. Yet the peace for which he gave his life has not yet come to this earth.
And all over this earth, men of goodwill are suffering upon a new cross, the cross of communism, the red menace of mankind with its godless goal, the crucifixion of freedom.
Christmas 1950. It was a beautiful Christmas, wasn't it, Bob? Our streets, our stores, our homes, never more beautiful.
Beautiful and bountiful, Bing. I mean, Papa Noel really got around. The post office department, you know, reports a new high in Christmas giving.
How about those fellas over there in Korea, hmm? They set a new high in Christmas giving, too.
Yeah, communism doesn't make out Christmas lists, makes out casualty lists. When I think of cracking jokes with those kids a little over a month ago, listening to them sing, I'll be home for Christmas.
Sort of furnishes a fellow with all the material he needs for his New Year's resolutions, doesn't it?
Yeah. I know a man who suffered the deepest kind of heartache over what's happened in Korea, who feels the loss of each kid as though it were his own son. And he swears that what those kids have given this nation, communism shall never take away.
Who's that, Bob?
Uncle Sam.
God bless the man and keep him.
Chesterfields have brought you the Bob Hope Show, transcribed from Hollywood, California.
that's where we call it quits for this week. But we'll be back next week with some great old-time radio, and I hope you can join us. Until then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.